Well, good evening and welcome back to Kingdom Encounter Live here at Ignite Depot. My name's Apostle Milton Jones. So glad to have you with us today. And I'm going to make this declaration. We're going to jump right back into the word, talking about the Holy Spirit, who is the developer of the character of God on the inside of us. Now, and it says this in accordance to Isaiah 61 and 1. It says this, that the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and to open up the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, and to comfort all who mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall rebuild the old ruins, and they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolation of many generations. Father, we give you glory and honor and praise, and thank you for this time in your word. Thank you, Father God, that our preaching and teaching will not be with enticing words of man's wisdom, but let it be a demonstration of spirit and power, that the faith of the people lie not in the wisdom of men, but in the power of the Most High God. Father, I decrease that you may increase. 100% of you, 100% of you. Father, move up and down each and every aisle. Touch each and every person. I believe that people will receive healing today, deliverance, wholeness, and completeness. Burdens will be removed. Yokes will be destroyed simply because of the anointing. I covenant with you in advance for all these things and much, much more. In your son Christ Jesus' name, we pray with thanksgiving. Amen and glory to God. Again, today we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit, who is the developer of the character of God on the inside of us. One thing that I found this week, and actually God said just before it came on the air tonight, he said this. He says, son, walk circumspectly before them. Walk circumspectly before them. We find this in Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 15, where Paul is writing it to the church at Ephesus. And this is what he says. He says, look carefully. And this is what the Lord is saying to you today. Look carefully then how you walk. And he says to live purposely and worthily and accurately, not as the unwise and witless, he says, but as wise, sensible, intelligent people, making the very most of the time, buying up each opportunity. Why? Because the days are evil. Therefore, he says, because of everything I just said to you, therefore, don't be vague, are thoughtless or foolish, he says, but understanding and firmly grasping what the will of the Lord is. What did he say? Understanding and firmly grasping what the will of the Lord is. And right now he says, if you want to know what his will is, all you have to do is get into his word. And when you read his word, you will understand his will. And if you want to understand his will and you read his word, the word of God, according to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, says the word of God is alive. That word of God is alive. It's quick, it's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, purging asunder between the soul and the spirit, the joint and marrow. It says the word of God is so alive, so quick, so powerful, so sharp that it can even discern between the thoughts and intents of your heart. In other words, when you're reading the word of God is also reading you. And when you're reading the word of God, as you begin to read the word, and when you involve the Holy Spirit in your time of studying and reading the word, and you're asking him, Holy Spirit, show me something, show me the truth behind this word, show me how to apply this word to my everyday life, Holy Spirit will do just that. And as you begin to read the word, that word will begin to bring up situations and circumstances they might be going on in your life right now that you need to be walking circumspectly or intently or wisely, and not being vague or foolish or just blowing it off. And he's trying to show you, this is the will of God concerning this situation. This is what's really going on in this situation. The person might be saying one thing, but in their heart, they're saying something altogether different. You know, he also goes on and says, not only do I want you to understand and firmly grasp what the will of the Lord is, he says, don't be drunk with wine. Now I know some of y'all are like, oh, now I was with you, Pastor. I was with you, Apostle. I was with you up till you start talking about my Hennessy and my Jack Daniels and all that good stuff. He says, don't be drunk with wine. Now people said, he said not to ever drink. I said, I didn't say that's what he said. He says, don't be drunk with wine. He says, for what happens when you become drunk with wine, it is a debauchery. He says, but ever be filled. He says, opposed to being filled with wine and where that wine gets you off and where that wine affects the way that you think and that wine affects the way that you respond and that wine affects the way that you react. He says, as opposed to being drunk with wine, instead be ever filled and stimulated with the Holy Spirit. He says, I tell you what, I got something that's even better than wine. I got something that could give you a high like no other high. He says, I got something that could give you a feeling unlike any other feeling, and it's going to add to you and not take away from you. It's not going to cause you to do anything crazy, not going to cause you to do anything stupid, not going to cause you to lose your way. He says, but I'm telling you, make this exchange. As opposed to being drunk with wine, be ever filled, stimulated by the Holy Spirit. Why is God spending so much time talking about this? Because it says in Proverbs chapter 23, talking about being drunk with wine, talking about wine bibbers. And you know it's interesting. You're about to show this to you. It says this in verse 19. It says, Proverbs 23:19 says, hear my son and be wise and direct your mind in the way of the Lord. Who did he say was going to direct your mind in the way of the Lord? It says, you, son, are you, daughter, direct your mind in the way of the Lord and do not associate with wine bibbers or drunkards. He says, be not associated with wine bibbers or a drunkard. He says, be not among them who are also gluttonous eaters of meat. Now, did you notice that he says people who are gluttons or who are uncontrollably and drunkards are mixed in the same bag? Did y'all see that? It could be a spirit of glutton. And he says, for the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty. Why does he not want you to be drunk with wine? Why does he not want you to be a drunkard? Why doesn't he want you to be so consumed with food and everything? Every thought and waking moment is about food. People call it comfort food. And it's not comfort food, because that comfort food will make you very uncomfortable and put you in dis-ease and cause you to have dis-ease, or another word to say, disease, because you have put more things in your body than your body was meant to consume. God's not trying to take all the fun. He's talking about, I came to give you life, the God kind of life. And the God kind of life doesn't include you being drunker. And the God kind of life doesn't mean that you have no control over your food. Do you know why God is talking about not to be a glutton? Or be it someone who has no control over their eating? Do you realize that every time the adversary got ready to tempt Adam and Eve and even our Lord Jesus Christ, do you know what he used to do it? The first thing he tried to tempt them with was food. Did y'all hear that? The first temptation was not with sin, that was not with sex. The first temptation was not with thievery. The first temptation was not, had nothing to do with lying or cheating or stealing. The first temptation that he came to Adam, and the first temptation he came to with Eve, and the first temptation he came to with our Lord Jesus Christ was around food. How do you know? Because he said to Adam, or he said to Eve, did you really can't eat of any of the trees of the garden? This is in Genesis chapter 3. And Eve says, we may eat of all the trees of the garden except that one tree, because the day that you eat of that tree, you shall surely die. If you eat of it or even touch it, you shall surely die. And then the adversary perverted what it is that God said. And he said, you won't really die. Because see, what God knows, the moment you eat of that tree, you'll be just like him, knowing good and evil, which was partially true. It was true that they would be no good and evil, but they were already like God. And see, the fact that they didn't know evil was a bad thing, they thought evil was good. So what did they do? She looked at the fruit, lusted the eye. She thought it would be good. She looked at the fruit. Then she thought it would be good for for food. She thought that it would also give her a different status because she would be just like God. You know what that's called? Lust of the eye, what she looked at, lust of the flesh, what benefit she thought she was going to get to the body, and the pride of life, what benefit she was going to get from a status. Those are the MOs of the adversary to tempt you with the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. So Jesus, God is saying, even before Jesus even comes on the scene walking on the earth, he says, don't be drunkards and don't be gluttons, because you will end up in poverty. And I'm not just talking about financial poverty. I'm talking about morally. What they used to say back in the day when I was in the military, they used to say, this is how you know you're drunk. You go to the bar, you go and sit next to this is not right, so don't judge me. Sit next to the ugliest person in the bar. And when that person starts looking good to you, you already realized you are drunk. God saying, before you ever get to that part, don't be drunk with wine, but be ever filled with the Holy Spirit. Why are we pressing so hard about this matter of the character, developing the character of God on the inside? And why are we spending so much time talking about, you know, how you can know what the will of the Lord is? You can be filled with the Holy Spirit. You can walk circumspectly as wise and not as fool. Why? Because you know what the word of the Lord says. Why are we spending so much time talking about the word? Well, I'll tell you, in accordance to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, this is Paul writing to his son, Timothy. He says, I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his coming and his kingdom. Did you hear that part? It says, you will be judged. God and our Lord Jesus Christ will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. So judgment's coming. What is judgment? Now, judgment, most people hear that word judgment, they automatically think negative. But a judgment can be positive or negative depending on what end of it you're on. Judgment simply means the outcome, a verdict. What's the verdict? So he says, I'm charging you, Timothy, before the Lord, before God and in the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. What is he charging Timothy to do? To preach the word of God, to preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. What is he telling Timothy to do? Preach the word. When? In season, out of season. And what are you going to do when you're preaching the word? Your goal is to convince, to rebuke, or to correct, to exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. Why is God having us to do that? That's what he's telling me to do. Preach the word. Not only me, but every apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher to which he's called. He says, preach the word of God. Why? He says, for the time will come, and it's here, when they will not, who's they, will not endure sound doctrine. Who's he talking about? People who have called upon the name of the Lord. People who are in the word, in the world right now. People who are so far from God right now. There will come a time where people will not endure sound doctrine or sound teachings, but according to their own desires. In other words, man, I don't want to hear that stuff about being a drunkard. I don't want to hear that stuff about being a glutton. I don't want to hear that stuff about not walking around, you know, you only live once. I don't want to hear you talking about, I can't be thirsty. I don't want to hear you talking about the fact that, you know, God has a better way for me, that I can't live with my boyfriend or I can't live with my girlfriend and we not be married. We just cohabitate. It's the same thing as common law marriage. It's not the way that the Bible instructs us to live. Therefore, it's not according to what? The will of God. But what people will do is you know what? I don't want to hear that. So this is what they'll do. He says, they will begin to, they according to their own desires, according to their own flesh, they will have itching ears. Itching ears is like, teacher, teacher, scratch my ears. Give me something good to hear. Tell me how I'm going to be rich by Friday. Tell me how I can live any way I want and still receive heaven as my home. Tell me what I can do, whatever I want to do, however I want to do it, as often as I want to do it, and there's no consequences. According to the word of God, we call that utopia. That place does not exist anywhere except in your mind. He says, they won't want to hear. They have itching ears, and they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth. Did you hear that part? People who once started off in truth will begin to turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables and old wise tales. In other words, they will say, man, I know what the word says, but I don't want to hear that. I know what the word of God says about this, but I don't want to do it anymore. I know what the word of God says, but it looks like those who ain't even saved are living better than us. And because it seems like they're living better than us, I'm going to turn from this and I'm going to do something else. He says, our response, God's response to every apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, when all those things begin to happen, preach the word. In season, out of season. What's the benefit of preaching the word? And what does this have to do with developing the character of God on the inside? Well, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 says this. It says, therefore, laying aside all malice and all deceit and all hypocrisy, our pretense, or all envy and all evil speaking. Now, who's he selling this to? Those who have called upon the name of the Lord, those who have made Jesus the personal Lord and Savior. Why is he saying this? He says, because as newborn babes, did y'all hear that part? Did y'all see who the qualifier? Can you tell who he's talking to? As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word. You are to desire the pure milk of the word. Why do you need to desire the pure milk of the word? That you may grow thereby. In other words, the only way you're going to grow up in the things of God, the only way you're going to be able to walk circumspectly, the only way that you're going to be able to fulfill God's purpose, plans, and pursuits for your life is you have to grow up and live according to the word of God. And the only way you're going to be able to do that is when you, like a newborn babe, you ever seen a newborn babe who's hungry and they cry and they're shouting to the top of their lungs and mama don't know, can't get the milk out fast enough. And that baby is hungry. But the moment you start feeding that baby, guess what that baby does? That baby becomes content. That baby becomes quiet. And that baby is sucking on that milk like his life's dependent upon it. And that's the way you and I are supposed to be when it comes to the word of God. We're supposed to be drinking the word of God like a hunger for the word of God, thirsting for the word of God. You say, you want to be thirsty? Be thirsty for the word of God. Be so thirsty for the word of God that you will do anything to get it. You'll climb the highest mountain. You will swim the widest of seas. You will go to the deepest valleys in order to get it, because you know and understand, like that newborn babe, that your life depends on the word of God, because you're a newborn babe. And what happens is, if you don't get a solid foundation as a newborn babe, what will happen is even though you sure enough filled with the Holy Ghost, sure enough got Jesus on the inside of you, you will live just like the world. There'll be very little difference between you and the world. You'll be what's known as a carnal Christian. What's a carnal Christian? One who lives according to their five senses and according to the dictates of their flesh. But what does the word of God say? Remember, we're walking circumspectly to understand and grasp what the true purpose, our true will of God is. What is God's will as a newborn babe? That you and I desire the sincere milk of the word, that we may grow thereby. What else is his will? That we do, according to Romans chapter 12, verse 2, I'm reading this out of the Amplified, which says it this way. He says, do not be conformed to this world. What world? This current age. He says, don't be fashioned after and don't be adapted to its external, superficial customs. He says, but be transformed. He says, don't be conformed, but be transformed. Now, conform means to comply with or yield to or live or act according to it. So he says, don't be living according to this world's superficial customs is or be adapted to its external superficial customs. He says, but rather be transformed. That word transform means to be changed. Change the form. Change your thinking. Change your appearance. In other words, we're going to repent. What does repent means? Man, I got new information on the situation, so I'm going to change the way I think, change the way I feel, and change the way I'm acting, and I'm going to and go a different way. He says, be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals and its new attitudes. And why does he want you to be transformed by the total renewing of your mind? So that you, not me just telling you, not just Brother Pray Right telling you, not Sister Slayer Down just telling you, but that you for yourself may prove for yourself what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in the sight, in his sight for you. So how are you going to walk circumspectly before the Lord? How are you going to walk as wise and not as fools? How will you know what the will of the God is? How can you live purposely and have the nature and character of God? When you renew your mind by the word of God, when you're like a newborn babe desiring the sincere milk of the word, then you will no longer be conformed or fashioned after this world's way of doing things, but you will be transformed or changed by the total renewing of your mind, that you will be able to tell for yourself what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Why is that important? Because you would never be able to get the nature or character of God solidified on the inside of you until you begin to renew your mind by the word. So you got to understand this. When you first came into the world, you grew up according to the things that went on in your family. And how many people know that all of us have certain things in our family that was straight up crazy? And I mean, you didn't recognize it when you was growing up, but when you got older and you start learning, like going to little Bobby's house, or going to little Becky's house, or going to Sally, or Mary, or Boo Boo, or Quita's house, and you thought things was one way in your house, and then you go to somebody else's house, and it's altogether different. Prime example, when I grew up, there was three of us, three boys. You didn't go in the living room. You only went in the living room on like holidays or on, you know, special occasions or whatever, and sat on the couch because that was really some nice furniture that's in the living room. Whereas if I went to one of my cousin's house, you could go in the living room, you could sit on the couch, you could lay on the couch. Heck, you can have your feet up on the couch if you want to. Now, in my mama's house, it was never going to happen like that. And I used to think that when I went to my cousin's house, I used to think that was crazy. Man, why in the world would you just put your... But two same families, same nationalities, same roots and everything, but two totally different ways of doing things. And it's the same thing when you're living according to the kingdom of darkness and when you come into the kingdom of God. Two totally different ways of doing things. The Apostle John writes this in 1 John, still talking about don't be conformed to this world. Remember, we started out talking about how gluttons and people who are gluttons and drunkards can come to poverty, and it was be renewed in your mind. In other words, you have to renew your mind, change your mind concerning these things, because this is what it says in 1 John chapter 2. Glory be to God. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 says this. Again, I'm reading from the Amplified. It says, do not love or cherish the world or the things that are in the world. Now, we're talking about world. We're talking about in this age. In this age. He says, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, pause and think about that. It says, if you love this world, the external, superficial customs of this world, to the point where you hold on to them so tight, he says, the love of the Father is not in you. I don't know about you, but that's a checkup from the neck up. Man, pause and think about that. He says, for all that is in this world, in what world? In this age, in the world's way of doing things, in the world system is this. Lust of the flesh, craving for sensual gratification, the lust of the eyes, greedy longings of the mind, and the pride of life, assurance in one's own resources or in the stability of earthly things. These things do not come from the Father, but are from the world itself. Remember, how did the adversary come at Adam and Eve in the garden? Through the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, which is all associated with what? The kingdom of darkness, or this world's way of doing things. And the world will pass away and disappears, and with it, the forbidden cravings, the passionate desires, the lust of it. But he or she who does the will of God and carries out his purposes in this life abides and remains forever. What is he saying? When you make the great exchange, when you get the character of God, the nature of God, through the word of God, along with the Holy Spirit, when you begin to grasp and get a hold of that, you will turn from this world's way of doing things, and you will be no longer be conformed or fashioned after or chasing after this world's way of doing things, but you will be transformed or changed so that you may be able to prove for yourself what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Now, I'm going to share this with you, and this is where we're going to close at. What did God say? Remember, you're a newborn babe. You're brand new. You're just coming into the things of God, or you might have been a follower for Jesus for a long time, or you might have been called yourself a Christian for a long time. But you know sometimes you could call yourself a Christian and not really be living Christ-like. Can I get one amen in that Presbyterian Catholic Church? Say you're a Christian, but you live just like the world. God says no condemnation. He ain't judging you on that. What he's telling you is, I'm telling you through the preaching of my word that I'm calling you. I've called you out of darkness. I've called you into the marvelous light. I've called you into my way of doing things. And now I'm telling my apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, because I love you, to preach the word, to be able to exhort you, to be able to rebuke you, to be able to correct, to be able to point you in the way that you should go. Now, what did Paul say to the church at Corinthians? He said this at the church of Corinthians. He said this, and he's still talking to the church. He says, I'm reading out of 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. It says, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Do not make mismated alliances with them or come under a different yoke with them, inconsistent with your faith. For what partnership have right living and right standing with God with iniquity and lawlessness? Or how can light have fellowship with darkness? And what harmony can there be between Christ and Belial or the devil? Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? And what agreement can there be between a temple of God and idols? Now he says, what fellowship can there be between, think about this for a second, between a temple of God and idols? Then he says, no, you talk about, well, who's he talking about? He goes on to say, for we who are followers of Jesus, we who have received Jesus as our Lord, we who have been filled with the Holy Spirit, we who have been born again from above, we are temples of the living God, even as God said. He said this. What did God say? He says, I will dwell in you and with you and among you, and I will walk in and with you and among you. And he says, I will be your God and you will be my people. So what is he telling us? Come out from among unbelievers and sever yourselves from them, says the Lord, and touch not any unclean thing. Then I will receive you kindly and treat you with favor, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. What's he telling you? When you get born again, now, does that mean that you go in some cave and start singing Kumbaya and you never be around any other? He's not saying that. What he's saying is there's a difference between having an association and having constant fellowship. Why is he talking about not having fellowship? Because the longer you fellowship around them, either one of two things is going to happen. Either they're going to rub off on you, or you're going to rub off on them. And because you a babe and you still growing in this thing called the word of God and the knowledge of God, they have a better chance. It's easier for you to turn back to what you used to do than it is to try to get them to come your way. Why do you say that? Because remember, the ones in 2 Timothy chapter 4, they had known the truth, but they got tired of listening to the truth. They didn't want to any longer endure sound doctrine, but they wanted to heap up their own kind of teachers to teach according to that which pleases the flesh. My Bible still tells me that in 2 Corinthians chapter 3:17, that now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And he's offering you freedom right now. He's offering you freedom. He's offering you a way. I don't care how far you got out there. You might have been hot on fire for God one day, and man, you so cold right now. You need a coat, a deep winter coat, to warm you up back to the things of God. Well, God's provided that for you right now. How do you do it? How do you get back in right standing? How do you get back in right relationship? How do you come back into right fellowship with them? Man, it's so simple. A child can do it. And I'm going to show you how to do it right now. In fact, we're going to do it right now to give you an opportunity to restore yourself back, to come back into right relationship right now in the name of Jesus. Now, in accordance to Romans chapter 10, verses 8, 9, and 10, the word of God reads it this way. It says, the word is nigh you, it's in your heart, it's in your mouth. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. He says, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I want to give you an opportunity to come back in right relationship. I want to give you an opportunity to come back in right fellowship. I want to give you an opportunity to make this your day one. So pray this prayer with me. Confess it out of your mouth. Mean it from your heart. Say, dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I do believe, Jesus Christ, you are the Son of the living God. I believe you died for me on the cross and carried my sins for me. I believe you was put in a grave, but now you're risen. You're alive right now. Lord Jesus, I make you the Lord of my life right now. I repent of sin, and I receive your offer of forgiveness. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for giving me one more chance to come in right relationship with you. I receive it right now. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and glory to God. Well, if you prayed that prayer for the very first time, I want to welcome you to the body of Christ, welcome you into the kingdom of God, welcome you into right relationship with God. Now, what do you got to do now? Man, you got to get in a word-based church that teaches you about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Man, I know that the word, this word has truly changed your life, but what I'm going to ask you to do, listen to it again. Listen to it throughout the week. If you like to share it with a friend, like, share. According to our podcast, Ignite to Life, again, it's Ignite to Life podcast, where you can hear this and all other messages that we've done before. Man, we're here every Saturday at 6 p.m. Atlanta Standard Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and 4 p.m. Central Standard Time. We'd love to have you join us. And on behalf of Ignite Nation and Pastor Julian and myself, I want to thank you for joining us. Have a blessed day. God bless you. Bye-bye.